Well, did you enjoy yourself during praise and worship?
Yes.
Well, he said he just wanted us to have a good time, so we did. Amen. Well, Father, all the beautiful faces sitting out there looking up to you, I'm asking right now that your angelic host walk to and fro throughout these seats. Touch each one of them, Father. Meet their needs. Father, I want you to pour them out a blessing they can't contain tonight. I want you, Father God, to take them to a place they've never been before in your kingdom. And Father, let your glory shine upon them so all can see. And let that glory draw all men unto you. And Father, we thank you that the ears are open tonight, the eyes are open, and the heart is ready to receive your word. And I thank you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is so good. I'm just going to give you a little bit of, you know, I've been really fighting a lot of sickness here lately. And so I was sitting last night studying, and I said, God, this isn't right. I said, everybody in the church is praying, and I know some people that really know how to pray are praying. And I says, I'm doing everything I know to do, and your word says your blood heals, and the stripes of Jesus heals me. I need to know what's going on here. And God said to me, they are weaving a web of cockatrice eggs. So we researched that, and somebody is out there doing some sort of witchcraft over me. And what I read about this is that they make a potion, and they keep stirring that potion until you die. And if you notice tonight, when I first opened up, I couldn't hardly breathe. You see, it closes my breath off, and I can't breathe. But I'm like Nancy. I just keep telling everybody that my God's a healing God. Amen. So even though he touched Nancy in a mighty way, he still touched me, and the enemy is a liar. And you need to say that in each one of your lives, the enemy is a liar. He has no place in your life. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. We learned that, right? Doesn't matter what your symptoms are. Jesus Christ is a great healer. He is the great I am. Amen. So I don't care what's going on in your life. We learned we have to have hope, right? And we have to have trust in the Lord. So what do? We hope and we trust, and we just tell the devil where to go. All right? All right, so I'm really reading somebody else a vision they had or a dream, because God laid upon my heart to give this to you tonight. And you really need to, as you're reading it, really listen to what you're reading and let it go down into your spirit, man. Julie Mara had this dream, the mountain of the Lord, because this is where the church is at right now, and this is why God had me do this. Psalm 24:3-4 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place, he who has clean hands and a pure heart? She said, I had a dream, and it was as if I was within Psalm 24, walking up the mountain of the Lord. I had to set my heart for the journey. It was a steep and narrow path, though it was a path well trodden, and I pondered the patriarchs of old who had walked the same path. In the dream, I was carrying baggage with me. I realized I would never make it to the top of the mountain carrying it, so I took it off and laid it aside. There were many people on this path walking alongside me. However, I noticed that several on this same trek up the mountain didn't want to remove their baggage. And God's trying to get you to remove your baggage, right? Isn't that what he's been trying to do? The higher they began to climb, the heavier the baggage became. Still, they held on tight, not wanting to set any of it down, not even the smallest of bags. They became so preoccupied with what they were carrying, they were unable to ascend. Are you listening? So tightly clinging onto their baggage, they simply stopped, turned around, and started walking back down the mountain. Come on. How many of you in your night, you're still clinging real tightly to that baggage that you're carrying? Leave the baby up there, okay, Adam? Don't bring the baby down. You know, sometimes I sit at home and I'm studying at night, and I really cry because I know the body of Christ that I minister to. And I've watched you carry the same baggage over and over and over again. And the problem is, you not only carry the baggage yourself, you affect everybody around about you with that baggage. You not only pull yourself down, you pull others down around about you. And if they're godly people, they have to fight and fight and fight to keep their footage in the Lord. And what that is that's an antichrist spirit, and that the antichrist is using you to destroy God's children. All right, then. It endured. It's not working. All right. Sorry. I thought you was reading along with me. So I said, so tightly clinging onto their baggage, they simply stopped, turned around, and started walking back down the mountain. Remember, God had me teach you, don't quit. Whatever you do, keep going. Don't quit. It doesn't matter how hard the circumstances get. Keep going. Because the enemy is always going, I'm hearing God said, the enemy is always going to flood your soul with darkness and troubled times. So you have to understand who you're following. You have to understand who you are. And you have to understand you do have the devil facing you all the time, trying to take you out. If you don't understand that, then you're never going to be able to make this walk that God is having you walk on. Everybody goes into a fight and knows what they're going to fight, or don't they? And so why don't we, serving God, why don't we understand that we are in a battle? The Bible tells us that. And that we do have an enemy we have to fight. And so what we do is we get ourselves before the Lord and find out how he wants us to go into battle. How does he want us to go into battle? He wants, like that song said, get on our knees, give it to him, and let him fight our battles for us. Too many of us are fighting our own battles. And I'm hearing God say we have so many battle scars that we're becoming disfigured as his children. And we need to quit fighting our own battles and allowing God to fight our battles for us, just like his word tells us. There was only one path to the top. I began to notice whispers and grumbling because the mountain was real, the path was narrow, and it was steep. All right, let's read that. Well, I'll read it to you again. There was only one path to the top. I began to notice whispers and grumbling because the mountain was real. Your problems are real. They're real. Don't say they're not there. They're real. Face it, you have a problem. The path was narrow and it was steep. It required endurance and diligence to stay steady and to stay focused on the small, narrow path. I came upon an elderly man with a long wooden rod in his right hand. He had a long white beard and long wild white hair that fell down around over his shoulders. His face was set looking onward and upward. He was not looking to the left or the right. How many times has God told the body of Christ, quit looking to the left and quit looking to the right? Don't look behind, but look straight ahead, look into my eyes, and I will bring you through. He was not turning around or even grumbling about the steepness of the path. He was not carrying any baggage. He was walking in one direction with a face that was set on arriving at the peak and nothing less. He looked as if he knew where he was going and how to get there. So I found my stride right with his. She was a smart one, wasn't she? He had authority upon him, yet a deep, humble spirit. Out of the corner of my eye, I began to see people looking for shortcuts, the body of Christ, or different, possibly easier ways to reach the top. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy way to reach the top. You have to follow the path. The elderly man would say to each one, there are no shortcuts and there are no other paths. There is only one way, and it is this path. If you stay on it, it will lead you straight to the top. To make the climb, you have to lay down all your baggage. To reach the top, to reach your destination, you have to lay down all your baggage. God doesn't want to hear any excuses. He wants you to let go of it. As you make excuses, your baggage gets heavier. Give it all to God. As he spoke, his words penetrated the very core of my heart, and I kept telling myself, stay on the path, lay down all the baggage, and there are no shortcuts, just keep walking, stay steady. I'm going to read this again because this is what I want you to tell yourself. Stay on the path, lay down all the baggage, and there are no shortcuts, just keep walking and stay steady. That's all you have to do. That's it. That's simple, isn't it? That's why the body of Christ can't do it, because they want to make it difficult. We just don't want to go the easy way. God says to come to him as little children, right? But we don't want to do that. We have to know all the ins and outs and ups and downs and around the bounds. We just don't think, hey, all I do is just walk. All I do is just give myself over to God 100%, and then everything will be just fine. For some reason or other, this pea brain can't receive that. Now, we can receive all the junk the devil gives us, and we believe every bit of it, but we don't believe the simplicity of the word. She said, I happened to look up just in time to see a road sign, and the road sign was a pathway of humility. At that exact moment, it was as if I was transported back in time, and I realized the man in front of me was Moses. In an instant, my eyes were opened to see humility, diligence, steadiness, and zeal. Got it up. Thank you. He continued up the mountain, saying over and over, there are no shortcuts and there are no other paths. Say it to yourself. There are no shortcuts and there are no other paths. Now get that in your spirit tonight. There is only one way, and it is this path. If you stay on it, it will lead you straight to the top. It will also change you from the inside out. From the inside out. This journey will do a work of humility within. If you stay steady in the midst of the steep climb, it will produce diligence and endurance for your next season. We go from season to season. Therefore, there are no shortcuts, guys. I'm sorry, there just are no shortcuts. God's word is true, it's yes, and it's amen. God is a holy God, and he's a just God, and he expects holiness and righteousness out of all of his people. Use me, Lord, use me, but don't make me give up my cigarettes. Don't make me give up my drinking. Don't make me give up my cursing. Don't let me give up pornography. Just use me. God's finished with that. He's not going to do that no more. We have to be holy as he is holy. All right? Finally, we ascended to the very top of the magnificent mountain. Very few men and women actually endured for the whole climb. See that? Very few God and Christian people had enough diligence to make it to the top. But those who laid it all down were standing at the very top and crying out Psalm 24:7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Those who made it were standing up there rejoicing. You know, please, tonight, please determine your heart. I'm going to make that climb. I'm going to stay on that narrow path. I'm going to drop all my baggage before I start climbing. I'm going to give every care, everything that's been bothering me, I'm going to give it to God, so I can go ahead and climb. If you don't do that, don't even start climbing. Because as she said in her vision, people that kept their baggage didn't make it. You have to lay the stuff down. You know, I have a situation in my home, and, you know, God's been telling me all along how to take care of it. And he just says, put it in my hands and forget about it. So that's what I do. Every now and then my eyes want to look at the circumstances, but I said, no, I can't do that. I have to do what God told me to do. And the other night I was sitting there studying. He said, I want you to write a note and say, you are loved by me. Then sign it, put my name on it. So I did. I took it over to their bedroom and taped it onto the little TV set that they always look at. And you know, that person has been different since then. They needed to know that they were loved. And seeing God had told me to do that. And I was obedient. But first of all, I had to lay that person at the altar. I had to let it go of that because it was tearing me apart to somebody I love very dearly. It was tearing me apart. But God said, if you keep it in your hands, it's going to be destroyed. Give it to me. It was hard. It was hard to get, you know, just to lay it down and not be concerned about what from day to day, what was going to go on. But, you know, once I laid that thing down, then I had peace and then I could go on. And see, the problem with the body of Christ is we cannot lay the things down. We cannot let go of that baggage. And what really bothers me is people who are married or friends, they always go, well, you used to. Well, that's what they used to. I just know you're going to do it again. No, they're not. You're cursing them. Stop it. Forget. You know, if you can't forget that, walk on. Because you're destroying yourself. And you're destroying that person that you keep saying, you're going to do it again, you're going to do it again, you're going to do it again. That's baggage. Let go of it. Why are you living in this world unhappy? Why are you allowing somebody else to make you unhappy? Ask yourself that. God wants his people to be happy. I'm going to tell you right now, I see sinners out there happier than the body of Christ is. They are. The body of Christ comes to church and, you know, they put their little face on and they do a little thing and then they go home and they're so miserable they can't even stand their own self. But the world's out there, they're honest with their self, aren't they? The world is honest with their self and they know who they are, they know what they are, they know what they're doing, they know when they're hurting and they talk about it and they're happy. Because they don't carry the baggage, they get it out and let it alone. I wish the body of Christ would learn to do that. Because without doing that, you're never going to be truly happy. Why are you happy one day and the next day you're down? Ask yourself that. There's something inside of you that's messed up. We shouldn't be happy one day and down the next day. We should be happy, 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 happy. And that's the truth. And you can live in total happiness. I didn't say your situation was going to get better. I said you can determine your heart. I choose to be happy every day I get out of that bed. And when you make that decision, guess what's going to happen? The devil's going to come to steal your joy. He's going to use somebody to try to steal your joy. He does steal your joy through another person. But now, see, there's another thing. You have to choose and determine that. Nobody that you put in my path, Satan, is going to steal my joy today. It's my joy. The Word of God says, excuse me, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the enemy's trying to steal your joy so you have no strength to do the things God wants you to do. All right? All right, she said, I realized I was standing in a place of great authority. You know, at the top of the mountain. This is a place where we have the authority to cry out, lift up your heads, O you gates. Many people get this invitation, but few make the whole journey. You've already been invited into the third heaven. Some went, some didn't. Some are saying, well, I wanted to go, but I just couldn't go. God didn't want me to come. No, that's not true. God said, come into the third heaven. He did. Now you have to determine you're going to get there on that path without any baggage, and you're going to sit in heavenly places with God. And like he told us, I want to speak to you. I want to give you the riches of my word. I'm going to give you secrets so you can take it back and give it to my people. The enemy is going to try to put a block between you and that trip to the third heaven because he doesn't want you to go up there and get any revelation knowledge. He wants you to stay bound because I'm going to tell you the body of Christ would really and truly straighten up, go up into the third heaven like God's been inviting us to. There's a lot of people going up there and coming back down, you know. Then we wouldn't be bound the way, you know, I'm not going to say we, the churches would not be bound the way they are. They would be free to go ahead and for God to work through them and do the mighty works that he wants done. She said, many people get this invitation, but few make their whole journey. For many start to climb, yet want to keep their baggage and are unable to continue up the mountain. And you know what will happen? For those people that don't get rid of their baggage, they're going to blame somebody else. They are not going to take the blame on themselves. They're going to say, well, they did this and they did that and I couldn't. They kept making me remember. That's not true. That is, I know, I live it. It is not true. You are the one that's making yourself not go to the third heaven. You're the one that's keeping that thing alive in your heart. You have to let go of it once and for all. Some people wandered off the trodden path for other adventures that looked better to the eyes but were worthless to the soul. Let me read that again. Some people wandered off the trodden path, through that narrow path they're supposed to be on, for other adventures. Remember, God said to many people, you took those little side roads that I never wanted you to take. I can guarantee you about everybody in this room has taken a side road at some point in your walk with God, and God didn't want you to go there. For other adventures that looked better to the eyes but were worthless to the soul. Remember what Satan paints a pretty picture? But he never shows you what's behind the canvas. And once you give in to what Satan's painted before your eyes, then he's hooked you. And then you have to fight to get unhooked. You have to fight to get free and stay free. I saw clearly there were no shortcuts to the top of this mountain. It is easier to stay on the path. It is easier to keep walking. This mountain, this climb is an invitation of the Lord to climb his holy mountain with clean hands and a pure heart, and all the while embracing humility which produces great authority. Though some people start with baggage or offenses or unforgiveness, we all have the authority to lay it down. I'm on. You all have the authority to lay that junk down. You know, if you think about it, in the last, I'll say 5 years, things that you never even thought about, it didn't matter to you, all of a sudden they start appearing in your mind. You think, where's this junk coming from? I don't even care about this stuff. And if you don't take care of it and make the enemy stop putting it in your mind, he's going to get a foothold there, and then he's going to keep bombarding you with that baggage. And that baggage is what's going to keep you from climbing the mountain and going where God wants you to go. So when things start coming into your mind that, I don't know about you, but when something happens, I forget about it. It is no reason to remember it, is it? It's done, it's over with. That was yesterday, and we have a brand new day before us. My kid said, well, why don't you remember that stuff? I'm not seeing now. I'm going to tell you right now. I just think it's worthless to carry all that junk in your mind, because after a bit, it gets into your heart and messes you up. My kids said to me, don't you remember what happened when I was 2 years old? Dear Lord, I don't know what happened. I don't remember what happened to you 2 weeks ago, let alone when you was two and now you're 50-some, you know? No, I don't remember that, and I don't care to remember that. They'll say, well, you remember whenever I fell off the porch and broke a leg? No, I don't remember that. Yeah, I really don't. Then they'll say, yeah, okay, so you did do that. Yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, one time we was in the military, and we didn't have any money. We always had a station wagon. We always traveled in a station wagon, you know, and slept in it, you know, and we'd pull along the road and we'd take our shower. And I put my kids in these cold streams at 5 o'clock in the morning. Plunked them in there. And one morning I was bathing. I had three. They were three, four, and five, or one, two, and three, or something like that. And all of a sudden my husband said, where's Teddy? And I said, she's sitting on the rock. I said, oh, no, she wasn't. Yeah, look, she was down in the stream looking all around. She could have drowned. I was so busy and caught up with the other two, and that was ice cold water. But she said, do you remember? I said, yeah, I do remember that, because I'll never forget that. To this day, when she swims, she always has her eyes open in the water. But I mean, it's junk they want you to remember. Junk. I said, okay, so you want me to remember that. What is that going to do for me? Right? It's not going to edify me. You know, it's not going to make my life great. So I don't even want to talk about it. It's not that I'm just ignoring something. God said, live each day for what it is, and then pick up tomorrow for what it is, but don't take yesterday with you. And too many people take yesterday and yesterday and yesterday and yesterday with them, and pretty soon you have years and years of junk piled up in your spirit, and then you're all messed up, and you're wondering why life isn't good for you. Come on. Yeah, I don't care if you have a good parents. I don't care if you had bad parents. You have to make decisions what you're going to do with your life. So if you had bad parents, well, thank God you're still alive. You know? And so if they were bad to you, well, you know, that's over with. All right, so you have wounds in your soul and all that stuff that they do deliverance on. Then go get a deliverance if you can't get past that. You'll get all that junk taken out of you. And if you can't get past it, I would suggest you do check with the deliverance ministries here and get a deliverance so you can live your life whole and happy and complete. I know people end up in mental institutions because they can't forget what people did to them. Why? Why would you do that? Oh, I loved that person so much, and they went out with somebody else, and they married him. They left me and my three kids, and I was devastated. Well, hey, you know, that's 50 years ago, and get over it. Just get over it. I told you my story. When my husband and I was married, you know, my third child was born. She's a couple months old. My husband came home one night and said, I don't love you. I'm never going to touch you. We'll live together, but I don't love you. Don't want anything to do with you. 45 years we lived like that. Was I unhappy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because I made a covenant with God. God, if I ever, because, you know, I come from a broken home. I said, if I ever get married and have children, they will never have a broken home. They will always be secure in the home that I provide for them. And I stood by that covenant with God. And my kids never knew that we were unhappy. Well, we weren't unhappy. There was no reason to be unhappy. He made his choice. He made a decision. And I made my decision. I will live here and I will raise my children and we'll be happy doing it. That was my choice. Nobody made me do that. So I'm telling you, you can make your own choices. You can make your happiness or you can make your misery. All right? Totally up to you. Lost my place there. Where am I at, Nancy? In order to continue upward, you have to lay everything down. Otherwise, it is impossible to make the climb, for the weight of these will make the climb too burdensome. Now, if I carried all the weight of all the junk that I went through while growing up, I wouldn't be standing here today. In fact, I'd probably be dead. I would not be standing here today. You know, you American kids are you stink. Look what's happening to the kids overseas. Being starved or being raped or being used as sex slaves, you know. And they have, you know, and they're living in conditions that are absolutely horrible. And you American kids, you have everything. And you complain. You're ignorant to your parents. The other day I said, I'm going to ship a bunch of you over there and let you live over there for 2 months and then bring you back. You might then, you know, like what you have and you know, be better kids. Come on. Lost my place again. The pathway called humility is a steep climb, but it produces an inward life. You know, going on with God is a steep climb. It's a hard climb. But we can do this. And it produces an inner life, a steadiness that you can only get if you stay on the path. You know, how are you going to be a leader if you can't get over your past? How are you going to be a leader? How are you going to minister to anybody else and tell them, oh, Jesus is great, when you and yourself, you're so messed up and so miserable, you can't even hardly stand your own self? You can't do that. The blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. You're going to have to get rid of your junk. Once and for all. Come on. No pain, no gain. But this trek is a place of great gain, living from the inside out. And if you can make it to the very peak, it's a place of new authority. Do you want new authority or don't you? Are you satisfied with your status quo? Are you satisfied with this dead stuff that we're living in right now in the church? You know, then you're going to have to do something with your life. You are going to have to do something. I can't do it for you. You're going to have to make that. And you don't be ignorant and destroy people around about you while you're making your decisions either. You know, I just really tired of people blaming somebody else for what's happening to them. Because you can stop that anytime you want to. You can just tell the devil, you're done. I live it. You're done. You're not going to jump. You're not taking me there. And you're not going there in this house either. Are you understanding this? And if you're really walking in the spirit, then you're talking to God continually, 24/7. And he's talking to you too. And he's telling, just like, you know, when I was saying, God, why is this sickness plaguing my body when we've done everything we know to do? Then he said, because they are weaving webs of cockatrice eggs. So then I researched that. And it's horrible. Somebody's out there praying death over my life. But it can't work because God gave me Isaiah 54, and it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, so see, you have to know what God is. See, God talks to me all the time. He's always telling me what's going on. He's always telling me what to do about it. And that's, you know, and I can live a prosperous life. I can live a happy life because I have a Father who loves me. First of all, He loves me first, then I love Him back. We have an intimate relationship, and He just tells me what's going on. Why would you want to sit around in the dark somewhere on it and say, I'm a child of God? I serve the mighty King, and He's not even telling you nothing. And you and the devil sneaking in the back door, the side door, the front door, the door over your head, door under your feet, and doing all kind of junk to you. One time God said to me, daughter, be careful, because while you're so concerned about somebody else's salvation, the enemy's coming in the back door to steal yours. You know, God just tells me all kind of things like that. So why isn't He telling you that? So then I realized, okay, I am. I'm really engrossed in trying to get these three people saved. And they weren't interested in it. I mean, they were in church and they claimed they were interested, but I realized they weren't. And I'm so all the time praying for them and going to visit them and, you know, counseling them. And you know, I wasn't spending my time with God the way I should. Even though I was doing the Lord's business, I wasn't spending my time with God. And the enemy was sneaking in the back door. How many of you are caught up in that? You have to be watchful of that kind of stuff. You can get so busy doing the Lord's work that you find yourself out here on the street somewhere, and you aren't even one of God's children anymore. You allow the enemy to come steal, kill, and destroy. All right. So I said, those who laid it all down and just did the journey, they began to proclaim in authority, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Psalm 24:7. Where are you in this climb? I guess that's where I'm at. That sounds pretty good. Where are you in this climb? Now, see, I had another really good message about God's will, His four wills, and God said, no, I don't want you to give that. They're not going to understand. I don't want you to give this. Nothing really. I had it laying on, you know, siding a bunch of junk. So this is for all you that were here. You didn't come here by accident tonight. God's dealing with you in your walk with Him. Where are you at on that climb on the mountain, or haven't you even started it yet? Or if you started it, where's your baggage? Did you leave it down at the bottom, or you still have it stuck to your back? Where are you at in this climb? Is the path too steep and hard because you need to lay down some baggage? I want everybody in this room to think about what you're hearing tonight, because this is going to determine how far you're going to go with your Father. Do you find yourself looking for easier paths, easier ways to reach the peak? Are you looking, I'm saying that's not up on there, but are you looking for shortcuts all over the place? Or you think you're doing something and God's not seeing it? And He sees everything. Remember when I was fasting? The 40th day. I love cashews. And I took the cashew and put it in my hand, and I started going up steps, and I was going to sneak somewhere and hide it and eat it. And God said, where are you going? He said, it doesn't matter if they see you. I'm watching you. And he said, you just lost what you spent 39 days to get. Because I'd already stuck it in my mouth and ate it. So, you know, what are you doing? That nut was not worth 39 days of fasting. Y'all do the same thing. Yeah. It might not be a nut. But you all do the same thing, thinking nobody sees it or nobody hears it. But God sees all. He said, I'm watching you all the time. I see you. Even though they're all in bed, I see you. You might go in a dark room and do something, but He's in the dark room too. I hope you all get paranoid. And you understand that God is with you no matter where you're at, what you're doing. He sees everything, and He hears everything, and He knows everything. He has an awful lot of angels, you know, that He can send out to spy on you. All right. Maybe you have become distracted with pleasures of this age. They might have caught your eye. That's not might. They have. The pleasures of this world have really overtaken the house of God. And you know, I started reading that drinking thing, and I am totally shocked how churches think you can go out there and drink and party and get drunk and still be a child of God. I mean, I've known for 2 years of somebody that's a pastor of a church. In fact, now they've given them 3 churches, and they drink, they do drugs, they cuss, they smoke. And now they're a pastor of 3 churches, and they get big buku money. And I just have this little church, and I don't get no money. But the devil always takes care of his own, doesn't he? How would you think that was right? Okay, when my sister was still alive and I went to Florida to marry her, she said, come on, Barbie, let's go into the bar here. And they have delicious food. I said, I don't go into bars. Oh, come on. We're just going to go eat. You don't have to drink. We'll go sit in the dining room. So I went in with him. And she said, my pastor comes here all the time and sits up here at the bar with me and gets drunk and drives me home. I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, I can't believe she just told me that. I said, you can't do that if you're a pastor. You can't do that. Yeah, you can, Barbie. She said, you're just too straight-laced, that's all. No, I'm not straight-laced. God's word says I can't do that because I'm his child. I'm a leader. Are you listening? Remember the story? Did you ever read the story about the pastor who was away visiting somewhere and he was in this restaurant and he never had drank, but he decided he wanted to try a beer. And after all, he was all these millions and thousands of miles away from his home and nobody would see him or anything. And so he ordered a beer. And here the waitress happened to be a relative of somebody in his church. And so she called and said, guess what your pastor just did? He just ordered a beer and drank it. And do you know what? He lost his whole congregation over that. See, you know, God's everywhere. He sees everything you do. And he said, what you do in the dark, he's going to bring into the light. So don't come and tell me, I'm a child of God. I'm anointed with the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. And you have a dark side in you. God's going to show that dark side. Remember when I first started here and, you know, in this area as a prophet. Everybody got so excited because there's a prophet living here. They invited me to their churches, you know, the ministers did. And I would go, God would have me go to the ministers and tell them exactly what they were doing. And I just thought it was great. I thought, God, now, I really was in it. I'm not innocent no more in that area. But I thought, this is wonderful. You know, these people want to know the truth. And God's telling them the truth, even though they're in a great big auditorium with a lot of people. And I walked up this one couple and I said, the two of you work together, but you're not husband and wife, but you are having an affair. Well, the pastor of that church wouldn't talk to me no more after that. You know, he invited me in as a prophet of the Most High God. And I told him, I said, now when I come, whatever, it's God speaking through me. And I don't know any of these people, so whatever comes out, comes out. Well, he didn't like it because I turned around and told him he was doing something wrong too. But you know, that wasn't me. That was God. You're all leaders, and you're professing to be up there being something you're not. And God needs to clean you up so he can really use you. So he's what you do in the dark is going to bring to light. Went one time to a church, not in this area, but in another state. And I went up to this man and this girl, this woman, and they had about 4 or 5 kids. And God said to them, you're not husband and wife, but these are your children. It was a father and a daughter, and they were committing incest, and those were all the kids that were produced from it. And God told me, you better get it right, or you won't see heaven. I mean, you know, whenever I go out like that, I mean, even in here, you know, God is not, he doesn't play games. So if you don't want your darkness revealed, don't go to a prophet, a real prophet, because what they do is they yield yourself to God 100% and just say, here, I'm just a vessel, you just use me. And if you don't know, that's why I don't like to talk to anybody, because then everybody wants to tell you their business, don't they? They immediately want to tell you everything about yourself. And you don't do that if you're going to see a prophet or if you're talking to a prophet. Don't tell them about yourself so that whenever they do talk, you know, God does use them, then they tell you about your life, then you know, hey, that's God, because nobody knew that except me and God. All right? Now, see, when I climbed the mountain, I let my baggage down below. And when baggage tries to load me down, I get rid of it right away. because I know that if I carry baggage, I can't be what God would have me to be. And if I can't be what God has me to be, I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I just do not want to be somebody that just stands up and ministers to people. I just don't. If I can't live the life and walk the walk, then I don't have any right teaching you how to do it. All right? Okay, for we are all invited to go up that mountain. We all receive the invitation to lay down our baggage to stay on the path. We all get to be a part of this great climb up the mountain of the Lord. Now I got to stop there and tell you, because God's telling me this is revival, and in revival people are supposed to be repenting and getting themselves right. All right, so it's not. Please don't come and smack me. It's not me. It's God talking to you. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't fit, just walk away from it. All right, and just go on. But if it fits, put it on, and then tell God, clean me up. I was in a church one time, and I belonged to the church, and I was really working in the church, and the pastor got up there, and he was running back and forth. He was really a wonderful preacher, and he's running back and forth. I said, God, what is he doing? Well, I realized his wife was sitting in front of me, holding her Bible up in front of me like this, praying in tongues. And I said, what is he doing, and what is she doing? And he said, this sermon he made up just for you. He's saying that you're that person. He was calling me a Jezebel and everything else. So I sat and started listening. Then when he was all finished, he said, and that is you, and you get out of my church. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. I wasn't being ignorant. I just wasn't going anywhere because that man just told a lie about me. Everybody got ran out of the church. And he tried to run past me. I said, no, don't go nowhere. You and I have to talk. You just right now, you belittle me in front of these people. And I'm a deacon here and a Sunday school teacher, and you just stood up and said all these lies. Now, what you said was not the truth, and I can tell you who told you what you just preached. And I told him who it was. He said, yeah, that is who told me that. I said, you didn't take it to God. And, no, I didn't. Well, anyhow, then my husband was standing there, and he said, you know what? I know my wife. I know she's a godly woman. And I was about really to get serious about serving God, but I just decided I'm not going to, because if there's people like you preaching on the pulpit, I don't want to sit under that. It took him quite a few years. He married somebody else and finally got right. But see what that preacher did. But anyhow, it didn't bother me any what he was saying, because I knew I was innocent. I didn't do all that stuff he was saying that's what I was getting at. And I really didn't get upset with him. I just said, no, you and I are going to talk, because you're going to lose. He did lose his church. You're going to lose your church if you keep letting people tell you lies and you do what you just did today. I said, you need to start seeking God's face. We were still friends until he died, but still in all that episode did happen. I wasn't upset about it. I wasn't upset with the fact that my husband turned away from church again, because that was my husband's decision. He didn't have to do that. He evidently wanted to. He was looking for an excuse, you know. But I'm sorry, pastors do that to people. They do cause them to go astray. They do that. And if you're a leader in here today, don't be one of those who cause people to go astray. The other night when I was ministering here and God was moving mightily, God, on the way home, God said, why don't you lay hands on the people anymore, daughter? And I said to my husband, I said, you know why I don't? And he said, no. I said, because I was angry one night, was in church, and I won't get up minister to nobody when I'm angry. And from that point on, I never laid hands on people. And God said to me, he said, I've been wanting you to do that now ever since you stopped it. He said, you had a right to be angry, but you judged your own self. But you know, the word tells us to judge ourselves, doesn't it? When I became born again, I was a praise and worship leader, believe it or not. And I got up on up there that one morning, Sunday morning, and started leading praise and worship. And something happened in the congregation. I forgot what it was, but I was angry. And I sang halfway through the first song, and I said, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. And I went and sat down, and the pastor said, you can't do that. I said, yeah, I just did. I said, if I can't minister in love and in peace, I'm not going to minister at all. And I haven't done it since then, and that's been over 30 years ago. That's just what type of person I am. If I can't live the life, I'm not going to disgrace God is what I'm saying. And if you're really going to be a born-again child of God, then you need to have the same attitude. You're not going to disgrace the Father. And I tell people, if you're going to go out there and do something stupid, don't tell them you come to the Lighthouse Church. Please don't do that, because then they think that I allow that, and I don't. Are you listening? Yes, God uses me sometimes to be stern with people, but it's because that's what you need. You've been babied and pampered long enough. Now God says, time now for you to walk right, get it together, because you are not saving souls. You're just allowing them to stay the way they are. And he said, if you're not right, then you can't have you don't have the anointing to save, get somebody else saved. All right, lost my place. This is a season that I'm at. This is a season to lay it all down and stay on the path. So this is your night, guys. You got to lay it all down. You have to lay it all down and stay on the right on the path. Lay down offenses. Lay down unforgiveness. Lay it all down and stay steady for the journey. You just don't understand what great and wonderful times we're going to have with the Lord. What he's bringing into the house of God, he's never brought before. And we're just going to have so much fun. He said, we're going to be in the house 24/7. And he said, we're not even going to get tired. You know, and great signs, wonders, and miracles are going to occur. Then, you know, you're looking for somebody to get an eyeball replaced or something like that. But really, God could be healing somebody inside. That's the greatest miracle there. And you won't even know it. But that's the greatest miracle that could happen in my eyes. Because then that person is on his journey to becoming whole when they're healed from the inside. You can do it. The patriarchs of old walked this path. Jesus walked this path. Paul walked this path. I've walked this path. Will you walk this path? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets and ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Read that again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you all know that your loved ones that have gone before you, if they're in heaven, they're up there looking out over the bleachers watching you, and they're cheering you on? God allowed me one time, he opened up heaven, allowed me to see that. I didn't know that happened, but he allowed me to see that there was my daddy. You know, and he had a little banner waving it, and there was my brother and my grandmother, and they called me Jimmy, and they said, come on, Jimmy, you can do this. My daddy said, don't you dare sit down on me. Don't you dare sit down on me. And at that time, I was really discouraged, and I really wanted to quit. But God is so good. Opened up the heavens, allowed me to see that, and I didn't want to, I mean, I love my father to pieces, and I didn't want him to be ashamed of me, even when he was sitting in heavenly places. So I didn't quit, and I haven't quit yet. I don't intend to quit. So I'm asking each one of you, will you not quit? It doesn't matter what you go through. Don't quit. Please don't quit. All I've ever wanted out of life was just a husband to love me and a little house somewhere with kids in it, running around and being really happy. I've never had that. But you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. All I want is Jesus. All I want is to be able to stand before him one day and him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. That's the biggest reward I could ever get. So why are these little petty things? Why are you letting them keep you out of heaven? Why are you allowing them to make you stop climbing the mountain? Why are you doing that? If you just give it to God, he'll take care of it. Now, you know, this summer my one daughter came in. She lives out in another state, and they all sort of came against me. I thought, what's this all about? And I said, God, why are my daughters doing this to me? And then he quoted that scripture to me, where the mother goes against the daughter and the daughter goes against the mother. And so I opened it up and I read it. I cried. Because I don't know, I know this was a tool of the enemy to tear me down, to have my daughters come at me like that for no reason at all. I've never done anything to hurt them at all. But there it was. I said, devil, I'm not giving into this. I'm not having no pain over this. I'm just going to go on. And that was just last month. I'm just going on. See, if I have my eyes upon Jesus, then he's all that I need. God wants us to have homes. He wants us to have husbands and wife and children. He wants all that. But if you don't have it, don't lose your salvation over it. You know, who knows, when I come back down here to earth, you know, we come back down here to help him rule and reign for 1,000 years, I might have my little castle on a hill. You know what I'm saying? 50 kids running in the yard. Who knows? I don't want no 50 kids. But you know what I'm saying? Why, you know, we are at a turning point in history in the church. We are at a place where we are either going to make it or break it. And tonight, I'm believing God brought each one of you in here to make it, not break it. I believe that each one of you sitting here, I really do. I believe with all my heart, each one of you in here tonight, you're going to have a change of heart, because God's going to anoint you to have a change of heart. And you're going to be able to love those who you never loved before. You're going to love those who persecuted you, who spoke all manner of evil against you. And you can do that. I've been there too. You can love those who do evil against you, especially your close loved ones. You can love them no matter what they've done to you. How? By keeping your eyes upon Jesus. Not being distracted by the circumstances around about you, not carrying the baggage that Satan's trying to give you through those circumstances. I'm hearing God say, are you ready to stand tall as the cedar trees? Are you ready to carry my cross daily? Are you ready to let go of every bit of baggage that you brought in here with you tonight? Are you ready to sail on with me to do the great mighty things that I've called each one of you to do? And he said, each one of you do have an assignment from me. And I want you to start that assignment. I want you to complete that assignment, because then I'm going to have another assignment for you, then another assignment. And he says, I'm watching your faithfulness in each assignment to see how you will carry out that assignment. Now, if you stumble and fall, get back up again. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, and 7 times he gets back up again. You know, I know you get tired of hearing about my daddy, but he was a wonderful person. And he always told me, he'd say, Jimmy, you grab yourself by the bootstraps and you pull yourself up and dust yourself off, because nobody else is going to do that for you. Because when you're down, they're going to kick you. So I want you to remember always, you have to pull your own self up. And I've always remembered that. And I have found out nobody's going to help you when you're down. They really aren't. I don't care who you think they are and how wonderful they think they are. When you're down, they're going to smirk, because there's a spirit of Antichrist in them that wants you down. They want you to stay down. So I'm asking each one of you tonight, grab yourself by the bootstraps, pull yourself up, and march on. You can climb that mountain. You stay on that path that God has placed before you, no matter how narrow it is. And I'm going to tell you, once God can trust you, then the path gets wide, because he told me that. The path gets wide. Because he can trust you, and he knows you're not going to go astray. Are you going to be a leader, or are you going to be, or are you just, I was about ready to say a follower. No, if you can't be a leader, then you can't be a follower either, not in the house of God. You can go out there and follow the world all you want, but we're talking about the house of God. He needs leaders. He's designed each one of you to be a leader. Now, are you going to take that assignment? Are you really going to be the leader? Are you going to lay down all that junk? So if your husband comes against you, keep on smiling and keep on trucking. Keep your mouth shut, because I found out if you open your mouth, you get in trouble. You keep on going. If your wife wants to be ignorant to you, men, let her go ahead and be ignorant, because God isn't ignorant. He's a loving God. And if so, she's being ignorant to you, then she's an antichrist at that point. And you just say, God, spank her real good and walk on. You know, put her in God's hands and let him spank her and just go on. You don't get into fight with her, because then you go down to her level. God always told me, never go down to the devil's level. Always make him come up to your level. So I'm telling each one of you in here tonight, don't go to his level, you know, the devil's level. You pull that person up to your level. If you can't, the word says, shake the dust off your feet and walk on. No more excuses tonight of why you can't make it. Are you listening? No more excuses. God's done with excuses. Is it your walk? Somebody else can't walk it out for you then. You have to walk it out yourself.